This is the Chamber Chat Podcast, the show dedicated to chamber professionals to spark ideas and to get actionable tips and strategies to better serve your members and community.
And now your host, he officially has a kid that can drive. He's my dad, Brandon Burton.
Welcome to the Chamber Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Burton, and you're joining us here today for episode 117 of Chamber Chat Podcast, where it's my goal to introduce you to people and ideas to help you better serve your chamber members and your community. Our guest for this episode is David Bradley. David is honored to serve as the president of the Athens Area Chamber of Commerce in Georgia. He and his wife, Dawn, moved to the Athens area in August 2018, becoming a reformed North Carolinian. He frequently says that he used to think there was nothing finer than to be a North Carolina, but then he got to Athens. David and Dawn have three daughters, identical twin, 27-year-old daughters that both live in Atlanta. And their youngest daughter, Kate, just graduated from Appalachian State University. She intends to get married in July and is currently in Athens working for BioPlanet. After graduating from Guilford College in Greensboro, North Carolina, David moved to Mount Airy, North Carolina to run a rope manufacturing plant for 10 years. Upon the birth of his youngest, Kate, he opted to make his life more simple and easy, in which he failed miserably by taking over as the head of the chamber in Mount Airy. In 2005, the family moved to Statesville, North Carolina for a similar post. He is the past president of the Carolinas Association of Chamber of Commerce Executives, was recognized as North Carolina Chamber Executive of the Year in 2004, and currently serves on the board of directors of the Georgia Association Chamber of Commerce Executives, Envision Athens, the Athens Area Community Foundation, and the Athens Community Career Academy. I'm excited to have David with me today on the podcast, where we're going to be discussing how they're doing things in Athens around education and workforce development. And we will get into this discussion right after this quick break. Are you looking for a year-round, affordable, and timely shop local campaign for your chamber or CVB? Look no further. Build a custom Eat, Shop, Play mobile app with App My Community by visiting appmycommunity.com/chamberchat. App My Community mobile apps are not just simple membership directory listings. They provide many more capabilities to engage with your community. Provide your residents with a robust events calendar. Partner with a local fair, festival, or farmer's market to provide a schedule, map, and other resources to promote the event. Run a Small Business Saturday campaign any time of the year using built-in scavenger hunts. Allow your membership to communicate directly to their customers via push notifications. Your App My Community mobile app will be a unique member benefit, allow you to generate non-dues revenue with sponsorship opportunities, and best of all, provide a valuable resource to your community. Please visit appmycommunity.com/chamberchat now to receive 10% off your first year of an App My Community mobile app. All right, David, we are back. Thank you for joining me today on Chamber Chat Podcast. If you will, say hello to all the chamber champions that are out there listening and share something interesting about yourself so we can know you a little better.
Brandon, I'm so privileged to be on with you this morning. It's a great pleasure. I don't know if I can share much wisdom, but I can sure talk a little bit. we had the opportunity, as we noted earlier, we had the opportunity to come to Athens in 2018. And I don't know how many of folks who are on the podcast know have been to Athens, Georgia, but it truly is one of the coolest places on the planet Earth. Incredible music, incredible food, a great vibe in the community. And with the University of Georgia, about two blocks away, we have 35,000 students. So there's always some cool energy going on. My wife and I moved here, we have the opportunity to be, right next to our twin daughters, and family is easily the is easily one of the most important things in my life. Anytime that we can get together with our family, we are 100% in. I love every bit of it. And so we've been super blessed to be in Athens. Again, if Athens is one of the coolest places on the planet, it deserves to have one of the cooler chambers on the planet. We're not quite there yet, but we're trying.
All right. Well, it sounds like you got the priorities right. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we're blessed. You know, life is so short. You got to love what you do, and you got to love the people you're with. And yes. I could not be any more pleased to be a father first and a husband and a chamber guy.
That's right.
Probably in that order.
And, we could dive down a whole nother rabbit hole about being a college town and the impact that has on your community. And maybe you'll touch on it a little bit in our discussion today. But I know there's some unique qualities to a community when you're a college town. So we'll hopefully get a little flavor of that as we go on with our discussion. But share with us a little bit more about the Athens area chamber size, you know, staff, budget, things like that, just to give us a little more perspective.
Oh, great. So our chamber is about 800 members in the chamber. We know that we ought to be able to be in the neighborhood. In 3 or 4 years, we ought to be around 1,200 to 1,300 members. We need to expand our penetration in the marketplace. And quite frankly, in 2019, we were hitting the mark well. We had a net gain in membership without a membership drive. In 2019, we grew by 16%. And we were on pace to at least hit that mark in 2020. And then obviously COVID hit and things changed a little bit. But so we're around 800 members. And again, by 2024, we expect to be at the 1,200 to 1,300 member mark. We have four, for all practical purposes, full-time folks. And we have two part-time folks. We expect in 2 years, we'll grow by another, probably 1.5 full-time people. We have a budget of around $780,000. Again, if we look to 2024, we expect that we'll probably be in the $1.2 or $1.3 million budget range. We have a strategic plan on how to grow and how to get there. And a lot of it just has to do with, our focus for the last couple of years has not been to sell membership. It's just to earn membership. So if we had in 2019, we brought in close to 200 new members, and I dare say that maybe 20 of them were directly asked, would you join the chamber? The other 180 said, who do I write a check to?
Nice.
So it's been a fabulous experience thus far.
Yeah, that just demonstrates that you're providing the value for them to want to jump in the boat and be a part of that mission and the direction that you're going.
Yeah, and if they buy it before we offer it, then chances are we're more likely to retain them for an extended period of time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's been, again, there are people all over the world that love Athens, Georgia, but they don't love it as much as the people that live here. We have to be a voice of business, and the voice of business in Athens has been quiet for the last several years. And so it's people are jacked up that the Athens Chamber is standing up to be the voice of business.
Yeah, that is great. So as we look at our topic for discussion today around education and workforce development and how you guys are doing things there in Athens, I know, so every year I do a little series of the ACCE Chamber of the Year finalists where I have somebody from each of those chambers, usually about a dozen chambers come on and talk about their areas of work that they put on their application for Chamber of the Year to be considered as Chamber mm-hmm. of the Year. And I'd say probably 75% of them, they really focus on their, education and workforce development. So I know it's a very important topic in chamber work. And I think every community has some nuances to how they go about their plan and how they approach this important topic. So I'm curious to hear from your perspective, from your community, what seems to be working, what traction are you getting? Just tell us how you guys are doing things there in Athens.
Well, it's still a work in process, but we are doggedly pursuing doggedly pursuing connectivity between the business community and education world daily. Yeah, I think it's the most important thing that we can do. The school system in Clark County, Georgia, has gone through some rough patches, to be quite honest with you. And I believe, the Clark County School District is not perceived to be one of the best school districts in the state of Georgia by any stretch of the imagination. However, we also know that education is a critical component on where businesses choose to live, choose to move. And even more importantly, the quality of the employees that come out of the school system. So I believe, and this is the law according to David Bradley, not many people follow that law, but that education is the single most important cornerstone to long-term economic prosperity in the community. I believe if we as a business community had a commitment that we would have the best school system or even in the top 10 school systems in the state of Georgia, economic development, we wouldn't have to worry about economic development and job growth because it would engulf us. So I believe it's imperative for the chamber to dive in and be a hollow reed of connectivity between the business community and the education community such that that we work together progressively to move forward in building both the profile of education, but also to get quality employees through. So Brandon, we've tried to focus on, and this is our programming that is less than 2 years old. So what we found is that the school system is now wide open to engagement, and we're probably probably 40 to 50% of my time, maybe 40% of my time through the course of the week is spent in education related areas. Try to focus on two different areas. One is how do we get the business community engaged in the current school system? In schools currently. And we have a couple different things that we're doing along those lines. And then we'll also talk about how engagement in those school systems might venture into the workforce development component. In previous communities I've been in, education focus has been, prevalent in the two chambers I was in prior to coming to Athens. So this is not a new initiative that we're putting forward. One thing we've committed to the school system is we've got 27 schools in Clark County, most of them elementary, and certainly, you've got middle schools and high schools. We've had virtually no partnerships between the business community and local schools. We are putting together right now those partnerships with every school. One of the things that what we've been able to do is really develop a partnership agreement plan so that a business will know exactly what the school is expecting of that business and the school will know exactly what to expect from the business. And that's taken a little bit of time, and a lot of credit goes to the Clark County School District for coming up with that partnership agreement. But the objective has to be, the perception of our schools is not so good. And unfortunately, if we don't have advocates for the school system, if we don't have advocates for the school system and maybe their protagonists, chances are pretty good. They're just repeating what they've heard. So we need to get the business community in the school so that they can really see what good is going on. And if something is not, if things need to be changed, then the business community is going to be a partner to help make that change. So So we'll have, by the time fall rolls around, we'll have 27, or we'll probably have much more than that, but for every school, we'll have several business and education partners. In the fall, we are something that I think was done maybe 15 years ago, was a Seeing is Believing bus tour. So it's taking maybe several buses with local business leaders that will register. You know, I think we'd probably easily have 150 or so that would join in, and really plan out a plan to get them into not every school, but several schools throughout the district, so that they can see the value of what's happening. They can get engaged. Again, it's just about getting people involved. And lastly, you know, I have been in previous communities very much engaged and involved with Franklin Covey's Leader in Me program, which focuses on development of utilization of Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People and helping teachers teachers would create lesson plans for every hour of every day that involve the 7 habits in their teaching. And it's, I've seen it change lives. And we're ecstatic to be able to work with the school system to help move slowly some of our schools into this Leader in Me framework of teaching. And, you know, it's extraordinary. So that's sort of what we're trying to do as far as getting folks engaged. But we also have to focus on workforce development. And that's sometimes a little bit tougher, but it's probably even more important than getting folks engaged. We have, this summer we are employing 15 teachers and externships to spend a week in 15 different industries, manufacturing plants. The objective is to get those teachers to have those teachers understand better the skill sets that are needed so that they can, when they go back to their classrooms, they can help us make connections. And so we're going to be paying teachers $1,000 a week, $1,000 for that week as a stipend, to get deeply engaged in what the skill sets are needed in each of those manufacturing plants. And all 15 of them will make a presentation to the chamber as well as the school system as to what they've learned.
So this summer is the first time doing that with the externship.
It is. We'd actually scheduled it for last summer, but that didn't work out.
Put a kibosh on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, thanks. This is, you know, I mean, money doesn't grow on trees. We're always fortunate, as all of our colleagues are, of being able to find partners in the community. And Georgia Power is a sponsor of this externship program. We have great hopes and expectations for it. We do now have a really viable speakers bureau that is being utilized by the school district with business leaders talking to classes. It hasn't, obviously through COVID, it hasn't been overly easy because of the reduced class time. But we are Zooming with classes now. I think we actually have a class next week that we're Zooming to, a class of probably 100 around jobs in the healthcare industry. I mean, things like that are important just so that people are connected. And finally, Brandon, what I think is really very cool. We would go see, pre-COVID, we would go talk to businesses, industry, and everybody was saying, I just need a workforce. The anchor to, and anchor being a negative time, the anchor is keeping us from achieving the success, economic success that we like, is to get workers. And so we'd have plants that we would be starting folks out at $15 or $20 an hour. And then we'd go into pockets of the community and that were where unemployment was high or underemployment was high. And they would say, well, we don't know anything about these jobs. Where do you find these jobs? We don't have a jobs database of available jobs in the community. Now, the Department of Labor has a jobs database, but it's a little bit onerous to get through. You've got to have, you know, you've got to have a resume on file. You've got to have password, and it can be a little bit difficult. So we worked pretty hard over the last 6 months with our economic development organization, and we have a jobs database that will have maybe 4,000 to 4,500 jobs in Clark County available right here, right now. That will be updated daily. And our primary, what we wanted, what we expect to be able to do, we designed this database to be usable for everybody. No, you don't have to have a password. You don't have to have all this stuff. You don't have to have a resume. It's going to be available on everybody's site. But we really want to roll this out to high school juniors or sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and to their parents, so that those guys know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Because you know, some of these, you know, there are a lot of students who in 10th grade, they, gosh, is there any reason for me to still be here? Yeah, there is. And here's the jobs database. If you're looking to make $25 an hour, here's how you do it. Here's the educational pathway to make that happen. So stick to your guns and stay in school, and let's get you employed as quickly as we can. So we're really excited about the jobs database. And I've only seen one like it in the Southeast. I think the work that we've done, the total work in the school district and being that hollow reed of connectivity, but also working on workforce development, I hope that we begin to see a substantive payoff in the very near future.
Yeah, that jobs database sounds amazing. I'm thinking to myself, I have my oldest is 15, and I would love to say, here's a database for you to go look for a job. And but also, I'm thinking if there is an area of interest for that high school sophomore, junior, senior that they want in a career path, if they can go in this database and find a job, maybe it's, you know, starting at a lower hourly rate, but it's getting them an experience in that field that they have an interest in, and then see that there's opportunities to stay there in the community.
No question. And we have like perhaps most folks have, is we have a career academy as part of the school district. And in that career academy, we have 11 or 12 different pathways, academic pathways, whether devoted to career exploration. It might be advanced manufacturing, culinary arts, or medicine or healthcare. So what we'll do with each of the, if as jobs are available in that field, we're going to also attach that job to, this is the career pathway. This is the career or the pathway at the Career Academy that can help you get that job and help you be successful. So it's really tied to trying to keep people in school and to give them hope that maybe there's hope for there's a reason for me to stick around where otherwise there might not.
Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier, and I love the vision of this. If education was a primary focus to make your school district the best that it can possibly be, then economic development is going to take care of itself. I love that. And I probably butchered the way that you said it, but I think the spirit of it's there. But how do you go about getting that vision? How do you get the businesses to catch the bug? I mean, you can share the vision, but when they look at it and say, what's in it for me when I'm dedicating time to go, you know, be a part of a committee or to go to these schools? Yes, there's the greater good, but how do you get them on board and get them excited?
Well, I think you have to find your champions, right? You have to find the folks. If it just comes out of my mouth, You know, that's almost what I'm paid to do.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So find your champions that also see the same thing. We've got several champions that do. So the more, you know, we've got a Caterpillar plant here in Athens. And the general manager at the Caterpillar plant could be no more pro education, you know, than he is. And so when he talks, people listen. Two of the largest regional banks in town, when they talk, people listen, and they're ready to talk and they're ready to make things happen. I think if we get people engaged, we get people involved in the school, in schools, and just even that engagement might be just walking in. I've seen minds change, and I've seen folks say, "Look, how can I be involved?" Brandon, super easy. And this, I haven't really talked about this, but school system this year said, "Is there any chance that the chamber might be interested in helping us raise the profile of our employee of the month?" Right? Super simple.
Yeah. Right?
And they have an employee of the month, and, you know, would the chamber be interested in trying to see if businesses might be able to provide, you know, a little bit of incentive or something along those lines? Send out one email. Each employee of the month is getting close to $2,000 or $3,000 worth of either direct cash or some type of service.
Yeah.
So we were able to raise, in with one email, $35,000. Now, Athens might be different from a lot of other smaller communities, but it just shows, I think, that people, the business community, will do anything to help build a stronger education system.
Yeah, that is an easy example of just getting the businesses involved.
Yes, it's the smaller things like that, which give me a new breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
So I think we're on the right track. Yeah. You know, and so here we are. We also have 35,000 students across the street at the University of Georgia.
That's where I was going to go to next. How does that tie in?
We've got a great school of education that, oddly enough, has been the school district and the UGA School of Education have been a little bit disconnected, and it's for a variety of reasons. We have built and are continuing to build build that hollow reed connectivity between UGA and the school district, such that we're beginning to see a great deal more connectivity and engagement of student teachers or even workshops and seminars for teachers, you know, that are co-coordinated through the UGA. We are so close to, we're not that far away from really pushing the needle forward on public education. I'll throw this out to you too. When we hit that 1,300 member mark in 2024-25, my hope is that we decide as a community, and the chamber will lead this effort, that we will focus a lot of our educational work on third grade reading scores. Because third grade reading scores are, and I've heard this time and time again, that, you know, that the long-term prison construction is based on third grade reading scores.
Yeah.
So, and if a child comes into third grade and is reading a level of year or two level below third grade level, they're not going to catch up. probably. So that differential is going to continue to grow. And if it continues to grow, then that person, that student who is at the low end of the reading level is going to get apathetic and lose enjoyment and touch with school. So what we think, and having had conversations with the folks at UGA's education department, as well as their all the folks at UGA. Yeah, we believe that we can actually create a community-wide effort that singularly raises the needle on third grade reading scores. And that doesn't mean that you start teaching kids how to read in third grade. I mean, there's a whole lot of issues that go into it. It's like, you know, you talk about homelessness, you talk about food insecurity, we talk about transportation. But if we can address that, and third grade reading scores is the metric that we use to measure our success, I think business would jump all over.
Yeah. And I think that's very relevant right now as we're coming off the feet of COVID and a lot of the remote learning and kids not being in classrooms. And maybe they are now, but for some extended period of time, most of them were not.
Yeah.
And we've seen with our youngest two, they're first and second grade. And as parents kind of looking in, we can see that chasm between the children that had attention from parents at home during that time of, you know, quarantine versus those that didn't get the attention in regards to reading, you know, spending time reading and developing. And so now our kids are back in school, and they're, you know, more focus than what should be needed is they're trying to lift up those ones that are struggling so bad that fell so far behind. So it'll be interesting over these next few years to see, or even, you know, 15, 20 years from now, what prisons look like, I guess.
Yeah. It's a scary issue. I mean, it really is. I mean, we all know this has been, I think, one of the most difficult years that many of us have ever had to walk through. But we all have to stand. We all have to. It's our job, certainly as chamber folks. It's our job to help create a vision for a better community, even despite the malaise in which we have, you know, witnessed over the last 13 months. And I think connectivity to education is critical, is one of the most critical things we can do, because that's probably been a sector that has been rocked the hardest.
Yes, absolutely. So I know we need to start wrapping things up here. I wanted to ask you, what would be one tip or action item that you would suggest to any of the chamber champions that are listening that they can do to help take their organization up to the next level?
Brandon, you know, there's that adage that probably everybody has heard, or most everybody has used, that if you've seen one chamber, you've seen one chamber. I think it's important, and again, I'm a Stephen Covey devotee, but I think we have to first seek to understand and then to be understood. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a conversation with local government or local business and wanted to jump in and just start preaching the gospel of the chamber. And occasionally I have the temperament to be able to say, well, now wait a minute, why don't I just seek first to understand and then to be understood? And I think that's, it never fails that mode, that mentality helps create partnerships. And chambers, I think, have to be the partnership connectors in the community. And I think that the mantra that we use here in the office is seek first to understand and then to be understood, whether it's through membership growth or, creating new initiatives or having very hard conversations within the community. Seek first to understand and to be understood.
I love that. So you've alluded a couple times in our discussion today about the future of the Athens Chamber, looking 3-4 years into the future. And as we look to the future of chambers in general, how do you see the future and their purpose more specifically going forward?
That's such a good question. I think in February of 2019, I'm not 100% sure how I would have answered that question.
Yeah.
But I think during the last year, the future has been thrust upon us. Right? We have had to change. Most of us have had to change what we do and how we do. So we realized that our job had to be, and I mean, this was basically the world as we knew it shut down here in Georgia in March 12th or 13th. And so by the following Monday, which I think was might have been the 17th, we had refocused our effort that we needed to be the source of fact-based information, again, to be that hollow reed connector, so that the business community knew what was happening in every facet that we could possibly engage them with. And we had to do anything and everything we could to make sure that businesses, either received or had the information to receive funding, or that at least we could keep them as best we could in business and office. We didn't focus much on networking. We will a little bit going forward, but we realized that our role is to be the connector in the community. And I think that's to be connecting business to business, business to consumer, business to public policy. I think that's the role of the chamber going forward. I think we've got to expand our view a little bit, and I would suggest that if we concentrate on selling membership, then I think it's a short-term task. I think if you earn membership, you have long opportunities for long-term prosperity. I believe if we've done our job well over the last year, there's been no time that I'm aware of in the history of this country where chambers have been any more important than they have been in the last year. So we just have to continue to focus on what the business sector needs and to be the connector.
Absolutely. Very well said. So I'd like to give an opportunity for anyone listening, if they wanted to connect with you or follow up with how you're doing things there in Athens, what would be the best way for a listener to reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, my cell phone is 704-253-3128, or the office number is 706-549-6800. And email is always the best. It's always a great way. And it's david.bradley@athensga.com.
All right. And I will get that in the show notes for this episode, which will be found at chamberchatpodcast.com/episode117. But David, I wanted to thank you for spending time with us today here on Chamber Chat Podcast, sharing what you guys are doing there in Athens. I think it's a great example, and you shed some great insight for us.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Thanks for what you do. We need you. You are the connector that chambers. And so I want to thank you very much for your work.
If you are a chamber professional, please subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. When you subscribe to Chamber Chat Podcast, new episodes will show up in your podcast app each week as they are released. If you're finding value in this podcast, please leave us a rating and a review in iTunes. But most importantly, please share Chamber Chat Podcast with your colleagues that are in the industry. Would you be interested in creating even more value from the processes that you're already doing on a daily basis? Swipit has been one of my sponsors for Chamber Chat from the beginning. Swipit provides credit card payment solutions that will save your chamber up to 40% on your processing fees, and Swipit can integrate your credit card processing seamlessly into your existing membership software. Swipit does not charge chambers to switch, and they will make switching simple. In addition to these savings, Swipit has an affinity program for Chambers of Commerce, so you can earn more non-dues revenue to support your budget. Learn more about Swipit by requesting your free cost savings analysis and become more profitable today by visiting chamberchatpodcast.com/CC as in credit card. Again, that's chamberchatpodcast.com/CC, and you can join many other chambers as you begin swiping with Swipit.